Numbers 35, verses 1 to 34. New Covenant Lessons. What I'm really doing here, if you like, is take another look, a last look, back over this passage here, where God is spelling out for the Hebrews how they should govern themselves with regard to murder, and the punishment of it, and so on, and the trials involved in sorting out the rights and wrongs of accusations. Now, that's a very important set of principles here, rules, laws, ordinances. God says it's his law for it, the Hebrews in the Old Covenant. Now, we're in the days of the New Covenant. I speak to believers. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're under Christ's law, and we're in the New Covenant. Now, how can we apply these lessons? How can we apply what's going on in the Old Covenant? You see, the Old Covenant was a teaching ordinance. It taught the Hebrews, but it teaches us too. We look back and we can see things worked out in the Old Covenant, and they're written down, and we learn from these things, but we have to be very careful how we move from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant. You know that many people, Westminster Confession people, the 1689 people coming over from the Westminster Confession, these people mangle the covenants. They mingle them. They mix them. There is one great covenant. There's different administrations of the one covenant. Well, this has ramifications far beyond mere technical points. The truth is there is a discontinuity between the Mosaic and the New Covenant. There is a continuity. It's the same God who brought both covenants in, but the Old Covenant was temporary for Israel. The New Covenant is permanent for the elect of God in Christ. And dreadful results come as a result of mingling these covenants, confusing these covenants. Let me give you some examples. Here you see in the Old Covenant, Numbers 35, God established cities of refuge. There were sanctuaries in six cities, three on each side of the Jordan, east and west banks. And so if a man could get into that city, that was a place of sanctuary. Well, you know, historically, because the medieval church, because of the fathers, mingled these two covenants and put them together, thought there were cities of sanctuary. Tyndale, for example, was safe. I think it was in Antwerp, wasn't it? He was safe there as long as he stayed within that city. But as soon as he went out the walls of the city, and he was beguiled out by that man who deceived him, as soon as he's outside the walls, he can be snaffled. He can be taken. And he was taken, and of course he was put to death. He was kept in prison and put to death. But they regarded certain places as sanctified, as sanctuaries. Churches became sanctuaries. And I'm afraid the American friends, it seems to me, are very fond of talking about their meeting houses, certain parts of it, as the sanctuary. There's no such thing in the New Covenant. Christ is our sanctuary. There's no holy place. There's no safe place. Christ is the safe place. Christ is the rock. Christ is the cave of salvation. Christ is the refuge city. Again, because of the administration of the Old Covenant, the priests and the Levites were special. And you know in history that the clergy have been above the law. Well, and we see it right up today. Look at the paedophilia troubles. And it's not just Roman Catholics, Anglicans, and it comes far wider than that. How the clergy seem to be above the law. Okay, occasionally, and it's become more strong recently, the law has reached them. But how many times in the past the clergy have been exempted by this notion of applying the Old Covenant. Of course, many people don't realize that, but they're applying the Old Covenant to these circumstances in the days of the New. On the positive side, what can we learn? Well, these cities of refuge were places where the guilty or the accused or whatever, those in danger could flee for safety. And I've tried to show that this is what the New Testament makes of it. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 18, it makes this position that Christ is our refuge. We have fled for refuge to Christ. And we want these gospel stations. We want this witness. We want the roads kept clear. We want the preachers to be pointing the way. There is the place of refuge. Remember Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress? Evangelists say, can you see it? Flee from the wrath to come, you see. This is what we need. Let's learn that lesson, brother and sister, from the New Covenant. We are here to have a saving ministry as regards the unbeliever. The church is here to exercise a sanctifying ministry, an edifying ministry for the saints. But we are here also to go out into the world, go you all into all the world and preach the gospel. Shine the light, let the light shine and be citizens of refuge, point to the refuge rather. Yeah, that's the point. And it be pointing to the refuge, pointing to Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. Another lesson we've learned from this passage is the dignity of human life. And how important is that with abortion and murder rampant in our days? Yeah. Life is cheap now. It must never become cheap. Another warning, we must not take Israel to be ourselves. The Puritans who mangled the covenants, mingled it and confused it. Look at the things they said. Samuel Rutherford, he said to the Scottish people, "Thy name, O Scotland, is in the Bible." He meant Israel. What a ridiculous statement. Great man, I'm not denying it, but how foolish. But then John Milton, God usually makes his truth known first to Englishmen. To an Englishman. Really? Because they think Israel is England or Scotland. It's all ridiculous. Look at the parliamentary sermons during the Puritan era, 1640s. Two-thirds of the text were Old Testament. Of course the Old Testament is the Word of God, but they were applying the Old Covenant directly to England in the Civil Wars. It was a dreadful mistake. And of course, I can speak of the Salem witch trials. You can go on and on with these things. All are traceable back to this misunderstanding of the covenants, this confusion of the covenants. Again, I would see proper courts and trial within the Church of Jesus Christ. Matthew 18:15 and on, 1 Timothy 5:19 to 20. When accusations are made, there must be proper investigation. We see that in Numbers 35. It's just not free for all. There must be proper investigation, proper witnesses, two or three witnesses. It must be clear. It must not just be vendettas. And again, we must have proper justice and not go on mere appearances. But I think the chief lesson, as in all these things, Luke 24, Christ and all the scriptures, is that Christ is our city of refuge, and we must point to him. Galatians 3, the law, the covenant, the old covenant was temporary, it was all pointing up to Christ and so on. It was there until Christ came. And Colossians 2:17, these shadows give way into the fulfillment of it all, Christ himself. Hebrews 6:18, Christ is our refuge. Unbeliever, if you've not fled to Christ, flee to him. There's so much in this passage, Numbers 35, but Christ is all. And true believer, don't confuse the covenants. There is a great distinction. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I'm not saying there's no mercy in the old covenant, no. But I am saying that there's a distinction between these covenants which the scripture makes and which we must make. May God bless these thoughts. May they be profitable to us. May they clear the ground for us and help us to read our Bible with the right spectacles. The old covenant is Christ hidden, but pointing to Christ. The new covenant reveals him fully. May we always see Christ in all the scriptures. And more than see him, may we trust him and love and serve him for Christ's sake himself. Amen.